of Philippians, Paul's beautiful letter to the people in Philippi, a Grecian city, that he loved these people and started a church there and gave them some wonderful instructions, and they had wonderful things to do on behalf of serving the Lord after they became Christians. And one of the things that Paul wanted them to do was to be thankful. So, of course, that would be our message today. So, Philippians chapter 4, we'll read verses 5 through 7, and we invite you to read along with us. We also ask you to stand out of respect of God's word, and if you'd like to read it aloud with us, you're invited to, or follow along silently in your copy of God's word. Ready? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you want to have that kind of peace? Anybody here need a little bit more peace in their life? Anybody's life been real hectic lately? Okay, this week was hectic for Wes and Jordan and Drew and Ella and the family. But your life may be real hectic right now. And God says, I'll offer a peace to you that when the world says, how do you act that way in midst of such trouble? You'll say, it's the Lord, because it passes all understanding of anybody not in the Lord. So that's available to you, but it doesn't just come without you doing something. Now, salvation comes. It's a gift. You don't have to do anything to earn salvation. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. But if you're going to have a peaceful mind, you're going to have to put some things off to the side and do what God has called us to do. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So there's something for the blessed man to do and something for him to not do. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But he can't hang around the scornful people, can't hang around the negative people, can't be around that kind of thing. He has to remove himself from one place in order to be where he wants to be in another place. And God says, you can do that too. You can have a peaceful mind, and it'll work its way into your heart and into your spirit. And you can know what it's like this Thursday, this week, to have a wonderful closeness to God that brings peace. Boy, I think our nation needs some peace, right? I think we all could use more of that. And according to our text, it comes through thanksgiving. So we're going to talk about that today. Let's pray together. Father, we all need some more serenity in our life, some more quietness, times of meditation where the world is turned off and we can stop and think for a moment. But Lord, without your help, sometimes our mind would go in a direction that wouldn't bring us peace. We'd come to some wrong conclusions. So help our minds to be set on you today and our affections on things above, not on things of the earth, because that brings corruption. So we have a chance this week, Lord, to set aside time. Many people will be off work. Many will have extra time on their hands. May we use it wisely, and may we use it as you would have it, have us to use it, through prayers of thanksgiving. Bless your church, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The writer and editor, Sarah Josepha Hale, convinced President Abraham Lincoln to officially declare Thanksgiving a national holiday that recurred every year after years of persistent lobbying. 3 years of constantly going to the president, sending letters, sending people saying we need to have a day of Thanksgiving, she gained the ear of the president. The author also founded the American Ladies magazine, which promoted women's issues long before suffrage. She wrote countless articles and letters to persuade the president to recognize the holiday federally, which she believed could help unify the northern and southern states, helping to put away tensions and divisions. She kept at it, even after the Civil War broke out And finally, Lincoln actually wrote the proclamation just 1 week after her last letter in 1863. And here was the 1863 Thanksgiving Proclamation. Here it is. President Lincoln said, "We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too selfish and too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. Therefore, I sign this proclamation that on this Thursday, we will take time as a nation to be a thankful people and we'll give thanks unto God." We have so many of the things that we do in America because God impressed upon others to bring it to the attention of our leaders to do the right thing. By the way, Mrs. Hale was also the one who wrote "Mary Had a Little Lamb." She was well known in her day for her poetry and her writings, but she was a strong Christian and believed, how could we be a quote-unquote Christian nation and not take at least one day in the year, especially a day which meant so much to our people, to make it a proclamation to where we would have a national holiday, and therefore we have it. Thanksgiving is uniquely American. The pilgrims wish to honor God and celebrate their bountiful harvest with prayer and thanksgiving, and therefore they called for a three-day holiday. I think we need to add a little bit to our Thanksgiving. Would you be okay with that? A three-day holiday in which they invited their ally Indian friends to eat and fellowship with them. This was the first Thanksgiving. However, it wasn't until many decades later that Thanksgiving became a national holiday. As we prepare for Thursday, may we frame our minds. And this is what I was saying earlier. I think we need to possibly take a moment and rethink what's going to be happening Thursday. What opportunity do we have? And what should we do? We can frame our minds with gratitude. Gratitude is the right attitude for this holiday. To celebrate Thanksgiving in any other way is to miss the reason for the season. Charles Dickens wrote, "Reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has many, not on your past misfortunes, of which all men have some." Johannes Gertner wrote, "To speak gratitude is courteous and pleasant. To enact gratitude is generous and noble. But to live gratitude is a touch of heaven." And boy, I like that one. The early settlers believed in daily prayer, but to come down to calling the nation to a time of prayer, putting all the work and the things aside, for the reason of honoring God, and yes, including family, is a noble way to get earth and heaven to unite. So we must learn how to do it. You know, so many things don't come natural. Some of you and your families have traditions where you do it no matter what, and everybody comes from different areas, different states maybe, and you have a wonderful Thanksgiving time. I heard this week about a family who's going to have three or four generations coming, and they're going to be doing Thanksgiving on one day and then Thanksgiving on another day when the other family members are going to come, and they're going to make the whole weekend the day of getting together with family and Thanksgiving. That sounds fun, right? I wish they'd invited me. So we have to rethink some things sometimes. We have to kind of reconsider, what's this all about? And I know we've done it this way in the past. Is there another way that we can do it in a way that gives God more honor? Is there a way that we can enjoy this and get the family together to where that we, when it's over with, say, you know what, we did better this year? Of course there is. It's through prayer and thanksgiving. I fear, Christian, that oftentimes we get numb to life and we only pray when we have an emergency. I fear that we're all alike in the area of we get in routines, and we're glad to stop. I mean, in fact, our church has a prayer chain. And when Drew fell and hit his head, and And we got that report immediately, getting it out on the prayer chain, and more than 100 people were praying for this boy, and God was already at work. We knew that. But it's a wonderful thing. But wouldn't it be great if daily, if more often, we prayed for our children before they got hurt? A prayerless Christian is an anxious Christian, and we're commanded to be anxious for nothing, but in everything to give thanks. A prayerless Christian is a thankless Christian and is devoid of the power of God. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. A prayerless Christian is a hopeless Christian. Our help cometh from the Lord, which makes heaven and earth. So to be anxious and to be thankless and to be hopeless is to walk through life numb to what God has put you here for, and that is to give him the praise of his glory for which you were created, and to give him all the thanks and all the praise. Too many times the sports field, the sports world gets too much praise. Amen? Sometimes the corporate world gets a little bit too much praise. Sometimes others get a whole lot of glory and praise, and we leave God out. Let's not do that. Thanksgiving time this year. Praying with thanksgiving involves faith and trust, and God answers prayers of faith. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Thanksgiving is to prayer what Thanksgiving is to Thursday. It's when we do it. Every prayer should be a prayer of thanksgiving. Would you agree with that? Every time we go to God, we ought to give thanks. And even when we have a need, God, thank you that it wasn't. And I already heard Wes say this to me on the phone. Thank God it could have been so much worse. Paul tells us in our text that prayers to God must be specific requests petitioned from the depths of our heart and offered unto God with thanksgiving. Well, there's a lot to be said in that statement. Specific prayers petitioned to God from the depths of our heart, offered unto God with thanksgiving. Well, how many of you like turkey? Okay? So half of you don't like turkey, okay? Is it ham? How many of you like ham? Oh, more of you like ham. All right. And more of you are a ham, but... How many don't like turkey or ham? All right, you'd rather have a hamburger. I'm not coming to your house to eat. Let me get you to think about something. God provides a turkey or a ham or something else, and it sits there as the centerpiece of the meal. And we gather around. And hopefully you are a Christian family and you bring it before God, and maybe you hold hands there and you take time to say what you are thankful for, and finally you offer up a beautiful prayer unto God of thanksgiving. And instead of offering up to God, you say something like this: oh, wonderful bird of nature, how glorious thou art. Thy wings are profuse and thy breasts, well, let's skip that part. Oh, wonderful bird, how you feed us and help us and provide for us. Now, does that sound silly? It really does, except if you go to the Lord on behalf of something else instead of the fact that he provided the bird, gave you the ham, gave you the taters that go with it and all the other stuff. Bottom line is, our minds sometimes aren't right to understand that if we have anything, you realize this, every good gift cometh from the Lord. You understand that? Take God out of it, and you're not going to have the things that God wants you to have. So the thanksgiving part is to God, not to the bird, not to the other things. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be thankful for an opportunity to get the family together. Please do that. But ultimately, thanksgiving is about giving thanks unto God. Three main words in our text give us a recipe to have this peace that passes understanding. Three main words. It's very easy. He said it right here. He said prayer. So we know what prayer is. Prayer is asking. You can make it a big, long, elaborate thing, but you don't have to, because literally, in the Greek sense of the definition, is the simple word prayer is asking. That's what it is. That's what prayer is. Supplication. You may not be walking around talking about how you've offered supplication lately, but it's a wonderful word that means not only prayer, but the manner in which you pray. Supplication is to petition. If you petition something, you don't just say it once. You come back and you come on this side and you come on this side of it and you return to give this, to bring supplication before the Lord. It's not just say, Lord, I need something. It's telling him what you need, why you need, how you need, and the fact that you're going to be coming back until he answers that prayer. That's supplicating prayer, supplication. It's petitioning to emphasize a particular need. And then he said thanksgiving. Just three words: prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. You know what thanksgiving is? It's an outpouring of gratitude. If somebody does something nice for you, you say what? Thank you. That's what we do to God. Literally giving him thanks. Thanksgiving. Now, when Paul says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds and will give you peace, he says it'll come after you've done the asking, you've done the petitioning, and you've done the thanksgiving. If you haven't done the asking, don't expect to feel good about what the Lord's given you. If you have not gone to him petitioning, specifically asking for certain things at a certain time that you need, then don't expect to have a peace in your heart about it. And if you leave off thanksgiving, God will make sure that he gives you something or takes something away that'll bring you to the point to where you realize we ought to be more thankful. But doing this brings peace. Paul says the peace of God will guard your hearts. That word guard is a military term. I don't know if I knew that, Brother Fred, before I studied this. To guard, God will bring the peace that will guard your heart and your mind. In other words, he'll send centurions around your mind, and when the devil tries to come in and tell you you're worth nothing, it'll go away and you'll have peace. Did you get that? We're supposed to pray and supplicate and give thanks unto God, and in doing so, God says, I will give you a peace that will guard your mind and your heart, so that when you don't feel like you're worthy, when you feel like you have enemies on all sides of you, when you don't know how you can get through the trial, I'll get you through it and you'll have peace that you can get through it. What a wonderful thing the Lord offers us today. So how many of you would like to have and learn and know this Thanksgiving prayer? Does that sound good? All right, so let's do it. Ready? Okay, here we go. Number one, thanksgiving prayer is continuous prayer. The Bible says in verse 6, in everything give thanks. In everything by prayer and supplication, giving thanks. In everything, do it with thankfulness. He says continuous. That's what he means. You think God just means sometimes? No, he said continually. Okay, you think God just means when it's good? No, he means when it doesn't feel good also. In the good times, in the bad times, when I'm happy, when I'm sad, in the positive things that happen in my life, and even in the negative things that happen in my life. In the morning, noon, and night will I pray. But the morning wasn't good, Pastor. Well, give God thanks for it, and the noon may be better. Well, the noon wasn't so good. Well, give God thanks and pray and ask him and supplicate before him and see if God won't guard your mind and heart with peace. Thanksgiving prayer is continuous prayer. The constant, continuous, prevailing thought that we have about God is to be thankful. How do you be thankful when you're driving down the road and you hear that familiar sound? How in the world can you give thanks for a flat tire? Let me tell you. Thank you, God, for the flat tire. Oh, come on, Pastor, that's too simple. No, it's thank you for the flat tire. How do you know that he didn't just save your life? How do you know that? Because I know that getting on the Veterans Expressway, or God help you to get on 19, people pass you going all manners of speed, and to have a tire blow out when you're at top speed or in a certain situation, it could cost you your life. How do you know that a flat tire, God wasn't trying to slow you down to keep you from going into an accident? How do you know that? How do you know that having a flat tire didn't prevent something else from happening? How do you know that? I don't know. How do you know that having a flat tire may get you to a place where the guy who fixed it needs to know a little bit about Jesus? Our missionary in Wales, his wife sent us the letter. I'll be reading it tonight. And he talks about how that they had a tire that blew, and it was during a holiday, and none of the gas stations were open except for one. And don't you know it, it was that maintenance guy working at the gas station who needed to hear about Jesus. Can God work through flat tires? Of course he can. So the prayers need to be continuous. The good times, bad times, when I'm happy, when I'm sad, all the time. He says, in everything, give thanks. We have a need and we pray. The need is met and we give God thanks. We have a fear and we are concerned. We pray, God gets us over it, and we give thanks. We're nervous about a job interview, or we're nervous about this or that, and God gets us through the day, and then we pray and give thanks, or we don't. Thanksgiving prayer is continuous prayer. Thanksgiving prayer is supplicating prayer. If we pray and ask God to do something, but we don't mean what we say, the Bible says we're praying without believing. So whatever you pray believing, God will bring it to pass. You see, the difference is trusting God with the answer. And when you trust God with the answer, you don't just say, God, I could use this if you're good enough to help me, and if you think I could use it, I would sure be glad. Yeah, okay, you've asked for it, but have you really believed that he would do it? Supplication prayer is different. Some people would ask maybe continually, but they wouldn't believe or follow in supplication continually. Supplication means able to be bent. It means to be humble and compliant. So if I go to God and ask him for something, but yet I'm not humbled by the fact that I'm in his presence, that I'm appealing, petitioning to the God of all heaven, who owns everything and spoke the world into existence, then my manner of prayer needs a little help. Supplication is meaning what you say and saying what you mean when you go to God. Solomon's prayer of dedication is a prayer of supplication. I was amazed to find out how many times the word supplication is in this one prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon is dedicating this beautiful temple unto God. And he doesn't just ask God to bless it. He goes on and on and on and continually tells God how that if he'll bless this house, how much glory will go to God. He uses the word supplication all the time. Here's what he said. Yet have thou respect unto thy servants and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prays. It's different to ask. Would you agree with me? It's different to ask and cry while you pray. To ask for something, but to ask it in such a way that you don't want to leave God's presence until you feel that he's given you the peace, he's going to answer it. You know, our kids come and they ask for something. And most of us say, okay, well, I'll think about it. If they never come back, how much do you think about it? But when they want something, man, they'll be like a hound dog on a bone. I mean, they'll be all over that thing. They'll be coming back to you and back to you and back to you and back to you. And they will wear you out. What they're doing is supplicating. They're petitioning you. They're wearing you down, right, parents? Huh? Yeah. Solomon's prayer was a prayer of supplication. He cried and he prayed In verse 30, he supplicated. Verse 33, verse 38, verse 45, verse 47, verse 49, verse 52, verse 59. Solomon cried and prayed. Cried and prayed. Prayed some more, cried some more, cried some more, prayed some more. That's continuous. That is and that is a Thanksgiving prayer. Not just a one-time deal, it's all over, it's done. It's a continuous thing. Saying thank you to God should be as easy as saying hello. And then you go on to say, God, I have some needs. Or I have a neighbor who has some needs. Or I have a friend who has some needs. Or I have a church friend who has some needs. Prayer is a general act of devotion. But then we're supposed to add to the prayer the supplication. Adding to it. Do not be tempted. Would you agree with me? Sometimes our prayers are too general. Too general. Lord, help me have a good day. That's what sometimes Eli and Bella will say when we pray and teaching them to pray. Lord, bless this food. Help us to have a good day. Lately, I've been saying, what does it mean to have a good day? Well, I want to have fun. All right. You think God wants you to have fun? I think so. I promise He wants you to have fun. The joy of the Lord is my, He wants you to have fun. So say, Lord, help me to have a good day and have lots of fun. Does that sound like more specific petition? All right. Help me to have a good day, have lots of fun, and help me not to fall down and skin my knee. Okay. I mean, you could go, you see the difference between a general prayer and a supplicating prayer? Bringing that petition and being specific before God. He wants you to do that because He loves you. He's your heavenly Father, and He wants to give you that specific need. He wants you to pray the prayer of thanksgiving, which is a continuous prayer of supplication. Supplication is prayer perfumed with praise. Prayer before God is the way God planned us to relate to Him. Story of a long time ago of a couple who said farewell to their home church as they were about to leave for the African mission field known as the white man's grave. The husband said, my wife and I have a strange dread in going. We feel much as if we're going down into a pit. We're willing to take the risk and go if you, our home church, will promise to hold the ropes of prayer. One and all promised to do so. Less than 2 years had passed when the wife and the little one had been given a dreaded fever. Soon the husband realized his days were also numbered. After burying his wife and his son, he decided that was all the work they can do. Not wanting to send word of his coming, he started back home at once and arrived at the time of the Wednesday prayer meeting. He slipped in unnoticed, taking a back seat. At the close of the meeting, he went forward, and all came over the people, for death was written upon his face. He said, I am your missionary. My wife and child are buried in Africa, and I've come home to die. This evening, I listened anxiously as you prayed for some mention of your missionary to see if you were keeping your promise, but you weren't. You prayed for everything connected with yourselves, your home, your family, but you didn't even pray for your missionary. I see now why I am a failure as a missionary. It's because you have failed to hold the ropes. Are we guilty of going on with our life even after making a promise to God that we would do that which He's commanded us to do? Pray without ceasing. Pray for one another. Love one another. Come boldly to the throne of grace where you may find mercy and grace in time of need. And yet we have not because we ask not. Psalm 69, verse 30, David says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Psalms 95, 2, he says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving prayer should be repetitive and rhetorical. It should precede every thought and word. In everything, give thanks. It was here in our text in Philippi that Paul and Silas were in a dungeon, a Roman prison. And they prayed and sang throughout the nights, throughout the night. And all the prisoners around them heard them singing and praying. And God heard them. And their shackles fell off. And they were loosed from the jail. And the jailer himself was saved. Can God still do stuff like that? Is God not able to do what he's always been able to do? We have not, because we pray not. Number two, Thanksgiving prayer is faith-filled. We understand that we can't just ask God for something that we don't believe, that we don't really feel like he has the ability or the desire or the love to fulfill. No, it must be a prayer of faith. And so he says this to us. Listen to this phrase, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Now, he's not saying live haphazardly. He's not saying don't be cautious about certain things. He's saying don't let things dictate how you live your life. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks. Give thanks to God for how you feel. Give thanks to God for how you wish you could do this better. Give thanks to God for brother so-and-so who has a faith in God that you would like to have. Give God the glory for it and be anxious for nothing. It's a command. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. God does not want us to worry. He wants us to pray instead. And by the way, you'll feel much better about it if you pray instead of worry, replacing that worry and that anxiousness for a prayer to God. But what if he doesn't come through? What if I have to wait? What if I didn't? You're already disobeying it. Take the prayer to the Lord, and as the song says, leave it there. Be careful for nothing. James 5, it says, a prayer of faith shall save the sick. Conditional will of God and unconditional will of God. I was telling some folks, actually, the men's prayer breakfast, listen to Dr. Tony Evans preach on the radio, and he was preaching about prayer, and he said, there is a conditional will of God and an unconditional will of God. And man, I got my ear out there. I said, what's he talking about? And he said, well, gravity, obviously. Gravity is unconditional. You don't believe it? Get on a building and jump? No, don't do that. I'm not telling you to do that. You can pray all you want to pray. Is God going to remove gravity? No. That is unconditional. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is it God's will for people to get saved? Yes. That is not an unconditional will, as some folks might say. Well, God knows who and who isn't, and therefore he's predestined some for heaven and some for hell. That's hogwash. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. And then he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see the conditional part? So that's conditional. Hezekiah found out that he had a disease, a terrible disease, a terminal disease that was going to kill him. The man of God, the prophet of God, was sent to the king's house and said, Hezekiah, make up your bed, get your affairs in order, for you are going to die. And Hezekiah took it to heart, and he put his face to the wall, and he cried out to God, and he wouldn't leave his room until he knew that God had heard his prayer. Now, was that conditional or was that unconditional, that terminal cancer that he had? It was conditional. How do you know that, Pastor? Because God answered his prayer. You see, how do you know what God wants to give you and what he doesn't? Well, I don't know. He just probably doesn't like me. How do you know? Until you pray. You have not because you... So you need to have the faith to believe that if God wants it and if it's right to be done and if it's good, according to Romans 28, for God's glory and your benefit, he wants to give it to you. And the only thing that's keeping us from having it is going to God continually and believing that he is the God who answers prayer and wants to answer the prayer. And yet we fall asleep in God's house continually because we don't have the faith to believe that God wants better for us. I thought he sent his son from heaven down to earth for our benefit. I thought so. I heard something about that. I heard something about Jesus loving us so much that he lived a poor life and he made himself of no reputation. And then after that, he allowed himself to be arrested, beaten, mocked, and nailed to a cross. I read something about that. all because that God so loved the world. So that same God doesn't care about you? Our problem is that we don't go to God with a thanksgiving prayer. It's a general prayer of, God, I wish you'd just help me sometime. When you get around to it, help me. And it's not a faith-filled prayer. Romans 14:3, one of the hardest verses in the Bible to obey. It says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Oh, my goodness. If you've never been a drunk or been on drugs, if you've never abused somebody in the wrong way, and if you've never been a felon or any of those things, listen to me. Let me speak to you for a moment. We make lots of decisions based upon our own benefit without faith. We start our cars most of the time without even wondering if it's really going to start. We don't think about it. We live our life without faith. We go on our way. We get in routines. God's given us so much, and he's given it to us. And maybe when we first gave it to us, we said thank you. But we take it for granted now until it breaks down, and then we kick it and curse it. We live oftentimes a faithless life. And yet the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Oh, we are undone creatures. We need forgiveness and we need faith to trust God and to believe God. Faith unlocks God's conditional will and brings heaven to earth. Mark 11:22, and Jesus said, have faith in God. Well, that's a short, pithy statement there. Have faith in God. Wow, that's kind of easy. Jesus narrowed it down. In verse 24, he went on to say, therefore I say, what things ye desire when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you shall have them. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Believe him. Trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Thanking God for all things is believing he has our best interest at heart. God wants what's best for you. Hebrews 11:6, whatever. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, who supplicate in their prayers, who bring supplication along with the asking, and then throws in the thankfulness. God said, that makes me very happy. The farmer that buys seed believes God will send the rain. And he's thanking God ahead of time. Did you get that? 2 Corinthians 9:10-11. Now he that ministers seed to the sower both ministers bread for food. Now wait a minute. If you give a farmer some seed, you haven't given him bread, but yes, you have. Because you gave him the seed that's going to grow, that's going to produce the wheat, that's going to produce the rye, that's going to produce the bread. So yes, you have. Okay, so the rest of the verse is interesting. He said, now he that ministers seed to the sower both ministers bread for food and multiplies your seed sown. Well, that makes sense too, because if you throw some seed out there and you get some plants and the plants grow up, and what do they have? They have more seed. Take a little bit and you give God a tenth. All right, you get to keep the 90 for yourself, and God's multiplied your seed. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor, I don't have the money to tithe. Really? You don't have the faith to tithe. You got the money to tithe, you don't have the faith to tithe. Now, can we get the crickets going in here? I don't want to give God a little bit because then I won't have enough. No, you're missing it. If you give God that little bit, he's going to give you more. So the farmer thanks God for the seed because he knows that the seed is going to bring a harvest, and the harvest is going to feed his family and other families, and it's going to provide seed even for the next year. Wow. That's what faith does. The story that I told here before, let me tell you again. There was a Christian lady who lived next door to an atheist. Every day when the lady prayed, the atheist guy could hear her. He thought to himself, this is a crazy lady praying all the time like that. Doesn't she know that there isn't even a God up there? Many times while she was praying, he would go to her house and harass her, saying, "Lady, why do you pray all the time? Don't you know there is no God?" It didn't stop her. She just kept praying. One day she ran out of groceries. As usual, she was praying to the Lord, explaining her situation and thanking him for what he was going to do. As usual, the atheist heard her praying and thought to himself, I'll fix her. Now, I know he did it just like that. He went to the grocery store, bought a whole bunch of groceries, took them to her house, dropped them off in the front porch, rang the doorbell, ran and hid behind the bushes to see what she would do. She opened the door. She saw the groceries. She began to praise the Lord with all her heart, jumping up and down and singing, shouting everywhere. The atheist then jumped out of the bushes and told her, "You old crazy lady, God didn't buy those groceries. I bought these groceries." Well, she broke out and started running and singing and shouting some more, shouting and praising the Lord. When the guy finally caught up with her, he asked her what her problem was. She said, "Well, I knew God would provide for me, but I didn't know he was going to use the devil to pay for him." If you prayed to God and asked him for something, does it matter how he delivers it to you? God moves in mysterious, wonderful ways. And honestly, Christian, you believe it, but you don't believe it. You're like me when I was a boy. I believed that God would answer other people's prayers and that if he ever had any extra time on his hands, he might get around to me. Our thoughts are not thoughts of faith. We believe God could on another situation to somebody else, but maybe he wouldn't for me. But oh, you just don't know how much God loves you and how much he wants to. Thanksgiving prayer is faith-filled. It's continuous and it's faith-filled. Number three, lastly, Thanksgiving prayer is sourced in gratitude. Sourced. If you pray Thanksgiving-wise, if you pray in a prayer that Philippians 4 tells you to pray, being anxious for nothing, with prayer and supplication, if you pray in such a way, it's because you already have gratitude already in there. Thanksgiving prayer is sourced in gratitude. Gratitude is the state of being gratified or satisfied. And we're always satisfied at first. It's when the car gets a few years old that we become unsatisfied. You're always satisfied with what you get at first, but then the shoes start to wear down, and it doesn't matter what it is, anything. We get for a while, and before you know it, we're not happy anymore. Until we stop and realize what life would be if we didn't have it. And then we go back and say, "You know what, Lord, forgive me. I've been complaining, but I saw that man over there without any legs. Forgive me for complaining about my knee pain all the time. That guy doesn't even have a knee." Becoming content in whatsoever state we are, reaching down and realizing that the things that we have, really, we've been treated pretty good. To be grateful is to be expressive. Other people will know if you're grateful. If you walk around complaining all the time, they won't know. But if you're happy and grateful about something, they will know it. But boy, your team loses the football game today, and boy, you're going to grumble tomorrow and the next day, and they'll know that you're not happy that your team didn't win. You see, gratefulness expresses itself. Because we are grateful, we pray. Remove something from us, and we become griping and ungrateful. The Bible says every good gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, Father who created the light, when God said, "It is good," of whom God is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God's goodness isn't just based upon where you live. It's not based upon your hair color, or how tall or short you are. God's not a respecter of persons. He wants to do the same good in your life that he's doing in your neighbor's life. But my neighbor has a better car than me. But my neighbor has this or my neighbor has that. No, you just don't understand. God wants to give you things that will fulfill what you need regardless of what anybody else has. And he can do that. We need to be grateful. Gratitude walks upward. Gratitude never stoops down. When we're grateful to God, our thanksgiving prayer is sent to heaven. Thanksgiving is an expression of love. It's actually, in Psalms, a form of worship. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. You want to worship God in a biblical way that God receives it? Come with a thankful heart. Give praise in thanksgiving before the Lord. In everything, giving thanks. Continuous, faith-filled prayers of gratitude are answered. The peace of God comes to the child of God who learns thankfulness to God for all things. Wait a minute, Pastor James. I lost my job years ago. Lost my 401k. Or in 2008, like my dad says, he'd put his money recently at that time, his retirement, into a higher risk yield 401k, and the crash happened, and he lost it all. Some of you are here today, and you lost tens and tens of thousands of dollars of your retirement in 2008. Now, how many of you are here that you say, I lost lots of money during that time? Yeah. And it was a setback. And it plagued you. And it made you be anxious and made you be concerned about whether or not you'd have enough money to retire. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How are you doing now? Was God able to make it up for you? Is he pretty good? Huh? His mercies are new every day. When you cry out to him, Lord, I need you. I've just lost something so precious to me. Not your money. Maybe a family member went on to glory. Maybe somebody lost their health, or maybe somebody's fighting a disease. Whatever it is, and you go to God and you pray, and you don't just ask him. You bring your supplication before the Lord and you petition him for that which you need. And you say, and God, no matter how hard it is for me, I'm going to trust you and believe you. And God says, okay, all right, that's all I've been asking. And then you say, and by the way, God, I want to thank you ahead of time for what I know you're going to do. God says, Peter, you need to unlock some doors and windows. I'm going to pour out a blessing. Because they did exactly what I told them to do in Philippians. They're refusing to be anxious about anything. They're not worrying and troubling about what they don't have. They're thankful for what they do. They're coming to me. They've prayed. They've come to the throne of grace, and I'm going to give that mercy, and they're already giving me thanks for it. Man, that's all I ask, and God pours you out a blessing. Or you can go back to grumbling and griping and complaining. Which is a better way to live? Live in thankfulness. God is good all the time. Some of the circumstances aren't. But we know that all things work together for good. God will work those things in for good. A couple years ago, I met the Weekleys and found out about some of their struggles financially and health-wise. And as a good pastor would say, and is what I said to them, stay faithful. God will bless you. Wasn't that long ago when he said, you know, Pastor, we didn't think it was going to happen, but we filled out some paperwork for this grant that would repair our house and fix some of the problems we have in our roof and these kind of things. And we didn't expect it to happen, but we just got word they're going to come and do it. They're going to replace our roof. They're going to replace our plumbing. They're going to replace our wiring. They're going to put in a new septic tank. And we don't have to pay any of it back unless we sell the house in the next 10 years. I've never done to me. But can God do that? Yes, he can. Now, what are you going to do about thanking him for what you already have so that he can open up windows and give you more of what he wants to give you? May this Thanksgiving be a time when we pull ourselves together and not center and not think about the things that are real that we are struggling with. After you go to God and share that with God, you walk away saying, you know what? Let God's will be done. That's what Paul did with that thorn in the flesh he had. He went and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he supplicated and he gave thanks and then he realized, well, God's not going to take this away. It is not a part of the will of God that I can change. It's unconditional. Then when he accepted it, all of a sudden there's joy that came in. Well, maybe God's going to use this. And in some crazy way, God used that in Paul's life so that he was more effectively serving God than what he would have if he didn't have a thorn in the flesh. If I'm supposed to give God thanks for all things, how many things do you think that means? Let this Thanksgiving be a little different. And may we determine in our heart and mind that we want God's help. And we're going to give him thanks today. We're going to glorify him. Yeah, I wish things were different over here, and I wish things were different in some of your lives with the struggles that you have, and I pray for that. But in the meantime, can God provide for you right where you're at? All right, let's pray together. Father, Lord, we've heard the message, and we know that your love for us